spear, afraid to use it. "Stop!" he cried. They turned to him. "You did trigger an alarm," accused the other. He hurried to clasp the belt about his waist. "Go on, get away," he said. "I will deal with this one."
"I could not have tripped an alarm," cried his companion.
"Get out of here." He faced Tack, waiting. His companion continued to retreat down the hill. Tack saw that it was a woman.
"Take it back," said Tack, panting. "Whatever you have taken, take it back, and perhaps I can cover."
"No," said Sam. "It is too late. I am the equal of anyone here now, and this is my only chance to depart." "I know you, Tack of the Archives, and I do not wish to destroy you. Therefore go, quickly."
"Yama will be here in a moment, and—"
"I do not fear Yama. Attack me or leave me now."
"I cannot attack you."
"Then goodbye." And so saying, Sam rose into the air like a balloon. But as he drifted above the ground, the Lord Yama appeared upon the hillside with a weapon in his hands. It was a slender and gleaming tube that he held, with a small butt and a large trigger mechanism. He raised it and pointed.
"Your last chance," he cried, but Sam continued to rise.
When he fired it, the dome was cracked high overhead.
"He has taken on his aspect and raised up an attribute," said Tack. "He binds the energies of your weapon."
"Why did you not stop him?" asked Yama.
"I could not, Lord. I was taken by his attribute."
"It does not matter," said Yama. "The third sentinel will overcome him." Binding gravitation to his will, he rose. As he fled, he grew conscious of a pursuing shadow. Somewhere just at the periphery of his vision, it lurked. No matter how he turned his head, it escaped his sight. But it was always there and growing. Ahead there was a lock. A gate to the outside hovered above and ahead. The talisman could unbind that lock, could warm him against the cold, could transport him anywhere in the world. There came a sound of wings beating. "Flee," the voice thundered in his head. "Increase your speed, Binder. Flee faster, flee faster." It was one of the strangest sensations he had ever experienced. He felt himself moving forward, racing onward. But nothing changed. The gate was no nearer. For all his sense of tremendous speed, he was not moving. "Faster, Binder, faster," cried the wild, booming voice. "Seek to emulate the wind and the lightning in your going." He strove to halt the sense of motion that he felt. Then the winds buffeted him, the mighty winds that circle through heaven. He fought them down, but the voice sounded right next to him now, though he saw nothing but shadow.
"The senses are horses, and objects the roads they travel," said the voice. "If the intellect is related to a mind that is distracted, it loses then its discrimination."
And Sam recognized the mighty words of the Katha Upanishad, roaring at his back.
"In this case," the voice went on, "the senses then become uncontrolled, like wild and vicious horses, beneath the rein of a weak charioteer."
And the sky exploded with lightnings about him, and the darkness wrapped him around. He sought to bind the energies that assailed him, but found nothing with which to grapple.
"It is not real," he cried out.
"What is real and what is not?" replied the voice. "Your horses escape you now."
There was a moment of terrible blackness, as if he moved through a vacuum of the senses. Then there was pain, then nothing. It is difficult to be the oldest youth god in the business. He entered the Hall of Karma, requested audience with a representative of the wheel, was shown into the presence of the Lord, who had had to forego probing him 2 days before.
"Well?" he inquired.
"I am sorry for the delay, Lord Murugan. Our personnel has become involved in the wedding preparations. They are out reveling when they should be preparing my new body. You should not speak, Lord, as though it is truly your body. It is a body loaned you by the Great Wheel in response to your present karmic needs. And it is not ready because the staff is out reveling?"
It is not ready because the great wheel turns in a manner.
I want it by tomorrow evening at the latest. If it is not ready, the great wheel may become as a juggernaut upon its ministers. Do you hear me and understand, Lord of Karma?
I hear you, but your speech is out of place in this.
Brahma recommended the transfer, and he would be pleased for me to appear at the wedding party at Mile High Spire in my new form. Shall I inform him that the great wheel is unable to comply with his wishes, because it turns exceedingly slow?
No, Lord, it will be ready in time.
Very good. He turned and left. The Lord of Karma made an ancient and mystical sign behind his back.
Brahma?
Yes, Goddess.
Concerning my suggestion.
It shall be done as you requested, madam.
I would have it otherwise.
Otherwise?
Yea, Lord. I would have a human sacrifice.
Not?
Yes.
You are indeed even more sentimental than I had thought.
Shall this thing be done, or shall it not?
To speak plainly, in the light of recent events, I should prefer it this way.
Then it is resolved?
It shall be as you wish. There was more power present in that one than I had thought. If the Lord of Illusion had not been sentinel, well, I had not anticipated that one who had been so quiet for so long could also be as talented as you have put it.
Will you give unto me the full disposition of this thing, Creator?
Gladly.
And throw in the Monarch of Thieves for dessert?
Yes, let it be so.
Thank you, Mighty One.
It is nothing.
It will be. Good evening.
Good evening.
It is said that on that day, that great day, the Lord Vayu stopped the winds of heaven, and a stillness came upon the celestial city and the wood of Kanibura. Chitragupta, serving man to Lord Yama, built a mighty pyre at world's end out of aromatic woods, gums, incenses, perfumes, and costly cloths. And upon the pyre he laid the talisman of the binder and the great blue feather cloak that had belonged to Srit, chief among the Kataputna demons. He also placed there the shape-changing jewel of the mothers from out the dome of the glow, and a robe of saffron from the purple grove of Alandil, which was said to have belonged to Tathagatha the Buddha. The silence of the morning after the night of the festival of the first was complete. There was no movement.